Don't worry, I'm not gonna hurt you.
Shit, hurry up, come on before it finds us.
What? Oh my god, seriously. Okay, so that's just our fucked up intro because my computer's fried and I've got a speaker that's out, so you may be able to hear that static.
She's trying to beat it into submission.
Yeah,
much like most of our men.
Well, you know, I do what I gotta do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really don't like beating the hell out of my computer, but it's driving me insane.
It's the old tried and true, smack it till it gets until
I
it
know,
does what you want it to.
God, if you know, I hit it and it breaks, I will cry.
Yeah, I know.
I'll end up in the fetal position. I'm very attached to that computer. It just needs a new speaker. But as that's going out, it's annoying the piss out of me.
Right, I can imagine listening to that hiss.
Well, yeah, and that's my main form of entertainment, too.
Yeah, that would suck a lot. Yeah, that would suck a whole lot.
Listening to that while trying to watch something,
yeah,
that's super fun. So, okay, sorry for that. Welcome to Kinky and the Geek.
Episode 60.
Yay, 61. Yeah, we just put out 60.
Oh, did we?
Okay. Yep. I am your hostess, Fleshvine.
And I am your hostess's Mighty Bell. Since we both have, since we both have boobies.
And today we're going to talk about our periods.
Yay!
Which actually is kind of funny. It's a nice segue into my venturing into girlhood.
Right.
Which I have been. Okay, since Phantom's been gone, I've been doing weird shit.
Yes.
I've been in a weird headspace. You know, as we discussed last week with Farmville.
Right.
My other thing I've been doing a lot is watching these makeup tutorials.
Because you wear so much.
Yeah, I don't wear
makeup.
You just
slap it on your face.
Yeah.
I mean, people, if you could see her, Tammy Faye looks at her and goes, Jesus, that's too much makeup.
Sometimes I will wear makeup sometimes.
Yes,
I know I wear makeup.
I have seen you in makeup,
But it's not common. Just cause it's a pain in the ass.
Well, it's just the same way.
Yeah, I'm not into anything that's going to be a big pain in my ass.
You've always been what I like to call a wash and go girl.
Yeah, totally. I go out with my hair soaking wet and nothing on my face, mm-hmm. and I'm fine with that.
And Alicia is too, unless we're doing something where we're getting dressed up.
Yeah. Yeah. But, okay, so these makeup tutorials. I actually started following a friend on Facebook who we had met at a party, and she started putting all these up, and I'm like, oh. Well, this is fabulous. And I always liked makeup because it's creative.
Right.
You know, I like anything that's creative, really. And as a kid, like, you know, in middle school and high school and everything, I wore a lot of makeup. And I did, like, really cool, because it was the 80s. You could get away with all kinds of crazy shit. And I did. And I wore glitter and multiple colors and things like that.
Yeah. So a lot of white and blue.
Pink and blue.
Yeah.
It was blue on the lower lid and pink on the upper.
Right.
Or peach. But anyways. So I'm not opposed to makeup. It's just not something I partake in necessarily.
Right.
Hang on. This is going to be a fun podcast.
Yeah. There we go.
So I started watching these makeup tutorials. And I was real drunk and watching a bunch of these one night. And I tweeted about it. And our friend from Twitter, Messenger Woman.
Right.
Tweeted me back. And pointed out this one girl that does these tutorials that she likes to watch. The reason I'm bringing it up is because there's a lot of geek cred, a lot of cosplay involved in this. her name, look her up on YouTube. Her name is Michelle Phan, Phan.
Right.
And she does, like I showed you a picture of the Gothic Lolita.
Right.
She also has done Disney princesses. She's done like fairy makeup, where she actually glued leaves onto her face.
Right.
What else did I show? Catwoman.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of good ideas for con goers and cosplayers.
Yeah, I've actually come across, there's one, and of course it's a cute Asian girl, and I'm not sure how she popped up in my videos to watch type thing. You know, how YouTube will suggest you watch certain videos.
Yeah.
And another Asian girl, and she was doing stuff like how to do like masquerade makeup, you know, to accentuate the eyes. The same one. Oh, is it? The same girl?
She
okay.
She puts the mask on and yeah. she traces from, yeah, same girl.
She also did Lady Gaga from one of them where she had the lightning bolt.
And, yeah, and I haven't watched all of hers, but she's got a ton.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm recommending her. And there's actually another one, Dope 2111. And she, they're friends, apparently, right. because they're in the same video together, or know each other through their makeup tutorials. Right. But they ended up in a video together, and she does, she transforms herself into movie stars. I've seen her do Angelina Jolie. She did a Katy Perry look. She did, the coolest one that I saw was she made herself look so strangely like Johnny Depp. It was terrifying. I mean, it was not terrifying. It was
right.
just striking.
Right.
So, yeah, that's Michelle Phan, Phan, and Dope2111. So. All
right.
Yeah, that's my weird fucking thing I've been doing this week.
Which is really interesting because I think it came up either last week or week before last on Kinky and Geeky on FetLife.
Mm-hmm.
That MAC is actually putting out a line of Wonder Woman
That's
cosmetics.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that.
Where they're actually doing the different styles of colors, and then also Wonder Woman themed like bags and
right.
stuff like that too. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what's crazy is now because I've been watching these, I've been so involved in makeup.
Yeah, like, we made our normal CVS run, and you're staring at all the different
exactly,
makeup stuff.
Exactly, which is weird and absolutely not like me. Which I do have some makeup, but I usually have like the, you know, the cheap, crappy stuff.
Right.
And I'm thinking, maybe I do need mineral foundation, which is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, so which means you'll just, there's a whole other thing you'll be buying at. What is that place that you and Phantom frequent so much at Lenox?
Oh, Lush.
Lush, yeah. Yeah. They put out a whole line, don't they?
No, I don't think they
do.
They did.
Oh, are they just skincare and stuff? I thought
they had
makeup.
Yeah, just mostly skincare.
Okay. I could have sworn they had, like, cosmetics.
No. No, but down the street, or down the downstairs from there is the Sephora.
Oh, okay.
Where, you know, they do really bloody expensive cosmetics that I can
right.
afford. Yeah. I try not to go there because it is, you know, it's one of those things. It's just another form of creativity.
Right.
And I like, you know, like all things creative because, you know,
yeah.
I can get into anything that's, you know, creating or making something pretty. So. So how have you been this week?
Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty much been a quiet week. You know, did the whole, went over to a friend's house and did the Super Bowl party.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Which was interesting because watching they had four... What was it? Four geeky trailers that came out.
Okay.
Battle Los Angeles, which they've already had a trailer out, but they had an expanded one.
I saw that on Hulu. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch it. What do you think of that?
Looks like it could be interesting.
Uh-huh.
But then it could be like what seemed to happen to Skyline and just suck balls so much it was gone in a week.
Oh, see, God, I still want to see Skyline.
Because I don't know if it, I mean, it's one of those things to where, did it actually suck or just no one wanted to see it?
Right.
Because so it lasted a week, is
yeah,
one of those things.
And the trailers really did look really good for that, so.
Yeah, but that's the bad thing about trailers is, you know, is there's a fine line between putting out a good one, like a 300 that makes you want to go see it, and putting out one where you realize that's all the good stuff they put in trailers.
Yeah.
What was the other ones? Oh, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
They have that one coming out.
Right.
They also had the first trailers for, not the first trailers, but, well, not for Thor. They did have an expanded one for Thor.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually had the first Captain America First Avenger.
Oh, nice. Nice.
And, yeah, that looks really good.
Now, okay, I can't be alone in this, but when I saw the Thor trailer, it was like, oh, holy fuck, it's Terry from True Blood.
Yeah, he's got that same, which is really funny because the last movie you've seen him in, he looks nothing like that in Star Trek because he's Kirk's dad.
Well, and we found that out after we looked it up.
Okay,
I was like,
yeah.
I could have sworn it was Terry.
Yeah.
This is going to be really fucking annoying.
Yeah, we'll
deal with
it. We'll deal with it.
But yeah, cute. really cute. I do like the Viking type.
And it looks like from the trailer, because a lot of people have been saying, you know, they were kind of upset because you haven't been seeing the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you've seen them in the Thor outfit.
Right.
You've been seeing them without the helmet. But it looked like there is a shot of him from the back where he has the iconic helmet on.
Okay.
Well, this seems to be a problem with a lot of these... a lot of science fiction movies. I mean, not science, but the superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
Because majority of superheroes are running around in a mask outside of like Wonder Woman and Superman and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's become a trend, especially with like the Spider-Man movies, where you end up where they're not fighting. As whatever, somehow the mask is gone, or they've taken off the mask, and they're not fighting. And that was the thing that just drove me nuts with Spider-Man 3, was they kept having Topher Grace, you know, having the Venom costume peel back to show Topher's face, which was not what Venom would do in the comic books. Venom was the character... was pretty much it referred to itself as we, you know, because so it was, Eddie Brodick and whenever you see Venom, he's Venom, he's in the outfit. Where they did have but they do have one which was like an offspring of Venom called Carnage, which was taken over, which the symbiote took over on a serial killer that happened to be sharing the same cell as Eddie Brodick. So when Venom, the symbiote came and broke Brodick out of jail. He left like an offspring, and it grew onto Casey something. I can't remember the whole name, but he became Carnage, and that was one of his trademarks. Is he would always peel. He would basically make the symbiote peel back so you could see his face, and he would talk to you that way. So it's like, Topher is like, that's not, you know, it's like whenever we talk about it, it's like, yeah, Topher did a great Carnage. Sucked at Venom, but he did a great Carnage.
Huh.
You tend to see that, and...
It makes you wonder if a lot of that has to do with the whole, hey, look which star we got to
play. And I think that has a really bad, that's the problem, is studios pay this money for the stars, and they want to see the stars.
Right.
Where it's like, no, we want to watch the hero fight. We don't care if it's Tobey Maguire playing Spider-Man. When I see Spider-Man and and Dr. Octopus throwing down, I want to see Spider-Man and Dr. Octopus, not Topher Grace in a Spider-Man pajamas fighting, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
Which will make it interesting when it comes to the Captain America stuff, to see if they keep with that. Because the only movie I could think of right offhand where you don't have that happen is Batman.
Okay.
Chris, you know, Nolan's keeps, you know, him in his, you know, the mask stays on when he's Batman.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I hope they do that with Captain America, that they, you know, that they keep the mask on. It was, and I forgot who brought it up. I think it was it may have been JJ talking about this on Mars Needs. They did a great way of how they did it in the Iron Man movies.
Mm-hmm.
How they got around that was basically that kind of interesting where you see him in the suit with the funky heads up display that looks like it should be too big than what he's actually in.
That is
so that was a way to get around to where you could see, hey, look, it's still Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
But when he's in the outfit, you're not having his face doesn't have to come off to fight, you know it's him.
It's interesting. Okay. Huh.
So, I'm just hoping that they don't, because that's the nice thing is when it comes to the newer Marvel stuff, since it is Marvel Studios that's putting it out, they tend to be better about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, when they stand up.
Okay,
it's getting ridiculous.
When they're doing this, so
yeah.
Oh, and there was a fifth one. I forgot about this one. It's the new Jon Favreau movie, Cowboys vs. Aliens.
Oh, right, right. I've heard of that. Yeah. Just kind of in passing, but I don't know anything about it.
Does it's basically, it's an alien invasion in the Old West, and it's James Bond and Indiana Jones. It's Daniel Craig and Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
In the leads, with John Favreau doing the directing.
Interesting. So it looks like
It could be interesting. I think a lot of people have a problem with the name.
Fun concept, at least.
A lot of people have a problem with the name, but that's the name of the comic book.
Yeah, that's something... Actually, what was I... It was an XKCD, the webcomic, where they were talking about... God damn it. Troches? I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's buzzwords.
Right.
That are two syllables, where the first syllable, the emphasis is on the first syllable, and how they're... they become like addictive parts of speech,
was right.
The premise of this. And aliens, ninjas, cowboys, steampunk, you know, and they had this person who was rattling off all these names, and I was like, oh yeah, all the geeky things, right?
Right.
And then they tried to remove all those types of words from her vocabulary, and she started coming up with peanuts, like police, or no, not police, but I was trying to think of some other ones, but yeah, anyways. Sorry.
Right.
XKCD. Go check it out. XKCD.com.
It is. Well, you just made me think that how it's funny how certain words will also, you'll start seeing trends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like they had a whole thing. And it almost seemed like there was a memo.
Uh-huh.
It came out after. This was back during the... it was the 2000 election season. It was right after Bush picked Cheney to be VP.
Okay.
And all the talking head shows, they kept using the same word, gravitas. Okay. And it was like someone sent out a memo that we must use this word. Yeah. Because it means, you know, to give weight to.
Right, right.
And that's what they were saying is, well, they picked Cheney because they need to give Bush gravitas.
Right.
And it was like, because it was funny, because Limbaugh actually did that, where he had a list he had sound clips from all the Sunday shows and all that, and you had, you know, all these different people from different shows.
That's kind of a word that there's not a good replacement for. But it is funny how you will kind of pick up a word in conjunction with something.
Right.
And then you'll repeat it, and then you'll hear other people repeat it, and you're like, hey, that's what I said.
But
then
you
think, no, wait a minute, I picked that up from somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that happens. Actually, I mentioned XKCD, which is one of my webcomics I follow.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention the two others, just, you know.
Right. Because.
Have you seen Ogloff, O-G-L-A-F?
Sounds familiar, but I don't think I've read it.
You need to be reading that.
Okay.
Because it's set kind of in a medieval kind of fantasy world with dungeons and everything.
I think I have read it, and I just don't have a link to it.
A lot of it's very X-rated.
Yeah.
Which I dig. They're little sperm monsters or sperm.
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
God, I can't remember.
Because he's got a mistress that doesn't let him jack off, but when he does, the sperm will go and tell on him.
Yeah. And then Nick Buxom, which we've actually talked about her in a previous episode, and she's actually not putting anything new out right now. She's traveling across the country.
Right.
So I probably shouldn't have said that, but it's Nick Buxom. I think it's just nickbuxom.com, I think. And it's usually, she'll go into different fetishes, and she was a pro-dom in a dungeon.
Yeah, I think you've shown me that one, too, yeah.
Yeah, super fun. On hiatus right now as she travels. But.
Right. A lot of my webcomics, though, tend to be the realistic autobiography-like stuff, like The Devil's Panties.
Okay.
Is all about Jeannie Breen's, you know, it's kind of based on her life.
I need to start following her because I follow her tweets.
Yeah.
I like her tweets.
She'll put out YouTube videos every once in a while, too.
Which, actually, you know what? I was just thinking of a fourth one. Ectopia. Hang on.
I think the two, but as you're looking for that, I think the two that actually have like a fantasy theme that I read on a regular basis is Order of the Stick, which is basically a D&D comedy one, where everybody's pretty much like kind of advanced stick people. They kind of look like a cross between stick people and the Fisher Price guys, mm-hmm. but with arms.
Okay.
With stick arms.
That reminds me of a little bit of XKCD where they're all just stick figures.
Right, and yeah. then there Looking for Group.
Okay.
Which it's also another fantasy kind of thing, but it tends to have more of the wow jokes mm-hmm. type stuff. Tends to aim more a little more towards wow. Than okay. Where Order of the Sticks a more role play D&D.
Well, and I found this one. It's at Topiary, ectopiary. Okay. It's very goth, kind of goth surrealist. Very Edward Gorey.
Right.
Kind of dark. Like here. Here's an example. A girl being swallowed by a weird flower thing.
Right, okay, yeah. Yeah,
so I've been following that. And, I follow these two. If you have trouble remembering, my poor computer. If you have trouble remembering to follow the webcomics and you're like, oh yeah, there were a couple that I was reading and I just, don't want to go to all the pages, get the Google Reader. And get the RSS feeds. It just makes it so much easier. I read mine in the bath. Yeah, because I've got the app on my phone.
Right.
Get the Google Reader, and you can follow blogs on it and everything, so that's just one good way to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, mine is, my main ones are, of course, Devil's Panties,
mm-hmm.
Something Positive,
mm-hmm.
Treading Ground.
Okay.
Which is another real-life one, which has got an interesting storyline, because it's The main character is like 22,
mm-hmm.
and one of the first things he meets is this really cute redhead, and finds out she's only 16.
Okay.
Which is really interesting, because the way the storyline has been going,
mm-hmm.
he just found out, his roommate finds out for him that the legal age in their state
mm-hmm.
of consent is 16.
Oh. Okay.
So it's one of these things
that's
to where,
creepy, though.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where, well, no, is he 22 or 21? He's not that much older, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, no.
But
4 years, and he's
and it's one of those things where they actually the relationship was actually pretty good. They were trying to be friends, but she's one of these girls that yeah, she's 16, but she's like 16 going on 34.
That hurt my hand.
Sorry. We could chop it off for you.
No.
It
sucks.
Yeah,
this may not be a long podcast, because that's just giving me a fucking headache.
Right. What else is there? There's Real Life, which is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
They'll break the that's the one that will break the fourth wall a lot.
Okay.
Which is going to be really interesting, too, because the guy who draws it, mm-hmm. in real life, him and his wife are expecting, and he made the couple that,
mm-hmm.
that they're based on him and his friends and his wife are expecting too. So he's actually put those in his in his webcomic.
Oh, cool.
And then there's Menage a Three, which is just downright sexy at times.
Yeah, I've read that one. I need to get back into that one.
Actually. They keep this recent one is, because it starts off with him, the character of Gary walking in on his two male roommates fucking.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
he didn't know they were
this
gay.
He didn't even know. Well, the brunette of the two, the guy with the black hair, has now he's had both his girlfriend and Gary again barging in on him while he's getting butt fucked by a transsexual.
Awesome.
Awesome. This Brazilian transsexual model.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
So.
This is going to be a winner.
Man. Yeah.
I apologize to our listeners.
We're trying.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll go on.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, so I started playing a new game that Phantom came up, found.
Okay.
It's kind of along the lines of Mafia Wars.
Okay.
But it's played a little bit differently, where you have so many turns.
Okay.
Instead of, having a fight or doing things like that, like you would in Mafia Wars or having jobs or things, you flip these cards.
Oh, okay.
And you can play the storyline cards or go and do one of these other list of actions.
Oh, okay.
And it's set in kind of... Fallen London. So it's very neo-Victorian.
Okay, I think he sent me a request. Yeah.
Gothy, steampunky Victorian London. So that's pretty fun. I've been playing that.
It's funny how Victorian London seems to get used in a lot of different things.
Yeah, but it's with steampunk.
Yeah.
Everyone is looking back to that period to look for.
But there's also a lot of
to bring things up.
But there's also a lot of like vampire stuff that usually gets set back then. And
yeah, it's just a fascinating weird time because the society was so closed and so Victorian. You think of stodgy and uptight and everything.
Right.
And I think that putting like the darker side or the more interesting side into that, it even more so just because of the times.
Well, you were also going through a social upheaval because that was the Industrial Revolution time,
right.
where you know you had old Britain kind of intermingling with new, mechanized Britain.
Yeah.
Plus, I want to say it's like the height of their of the empire.
As far as like they were in India then, and they were
in India, and they
really all over Asia, weren't they?
You had Hong Kong, had India,
they were in Thailand,
South Africa,
and
Middle Asia, you still had the Commonwealth of Canada, and it was at this point. I think it was the last of the great empires, really.
Well,
if you think about it,
I think it's a question of it being so stodgy, and that just makes anything out of the ordinary that much more interesting.
Right. But again, like you said, you have this like two worlds meeting
right.
at one point anyway, too,
right.
that makes it interesting.
Yeah.
And they did have some really interesting stuff. Just the fact that you had, like, Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
And things like that going on.
Yeah.
So
that's a good game.
Oh, yeah.
Go check out. I'm sorry, this is fucking crazy. There's no way to do it without having that sound.
Yeah.
I've been reading a book called Game of Thrones.
Right.
And, I vaguely remember Widge saying something about it at one of the conferences.
I think it's just the whole line of fire, the whole Song of Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
It's another one of those drawn out.
Yeah, it is really long and really, the one that I'm reading now, I'm just reading the first one.
Right.
Is like 736 pages.
Plus there are like a shitload of books. It's kind of like, almost like the, who's the other one that just had, he just recently died?
Oh, Robert Jordan.
Robert Jordan,
The Wheel of Time. Yeah, which is also
The Wheel of Time, which is another one. Because I want to say, I want to say... The Fire and Ice, Song of Fire and Ice probably rivals the girth that is, when it comes
God.
To,
Yeah, if you get a chance, you got to read those. I think we've talked about those before.
Yeah.
It's such an immersive world and one that you care about the characters, and I loved The Wheel of Time.
But he said that it's kind of like Walking Dead, don't get attached to anyone.
I don't know. I haven't gotten anywhere... Well, yeah, in the first part of the book, yeah, there's a tragic thing that happens, but so I'm digging it. I've just committed to reading the first one,
right?
Just because it is so long and it is so, and I've got other shorter, easier things I want to read,
right.
So I don't know if I'm going to take on the whole series, but the first one's good.
And plus, it's getting ready to come out on the miniseries on HBO.
Yeah, and I think that was part of the reason why I picked it up, too, is just because I had heard that. It was somewhere, it was in my consciousness, and I just happened to find it on sale at Barnes & Noble for the Nook, and I was like, yeah, I'll just go ahead and buy this.
Oh, speaking of TV melodrama stuff like that, it seems that you should be finding and watching, Spartacus... Blood of the Arena, whatever the newest one is, because it's again Lucy Lawless naked and getting on with women and
there's no bad there.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Because from what I heard, what happened is that the guy who was playing Spartacus has cancer.
Right.
So what they've done is this, because people are saying, "Oh, how can you have Spartacus without Spartacus?"
Right.
They're doing a prequel.
Okay.
So it's stuff that happens because it's basically you're finding out
how.
Lucy Lawless and her husband became the people they are in the first.
That's
so they're
cool,
kind of
actually.
They're kind of bringing it around. bringing it, you know, doing something like that, which is an interesting way of doing it. I mean, when your lead ends up having to leave,
right,
you got to do something,
right?
So
interesting. Yeah, it's definitely on my list, and I know it's on Netflix.
Yeah, I need to check it out myself.
Yeah, well, we've been watching Red Dwarf since Phantom's been gone, because it's like at the end of the day, he's been at the hospital all day, and I've been working all day because I've been taking on a lot of extra hours. Yeah. Just something mindless is really good.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely mindless.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny watching it after having, you know, watched it as a kid.
Right.
Being like, wow, really? Like, I was so into this. So.
Well, I mean, all it was basically a comedy. I mean, the only thing that made it kind of interesting was the fact that it was science fiction. But, yeah, the characters are hilarious. It is kind of funny watching what is it, the Lara Croft movies and seeing, you know, seeing the guy who was Rimmer as the butler.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Holy, I was like, shouldn't you have an H on your head?
Right. Oh, I got to point that out to Phantom. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'll freak out. And actually, Lister, I looked him up, Craig something. I looked him up. He's had all kinds of scandal. He's like drugs and hookers and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, and the dude that plays a cat is supposed to be having something like a singing career, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. He's the worst actor. Okay, the guy who plays Crichton, they don't call him an android, they call him a mechanoid.
Yeah.
He actually has a podcast where he's a big gadget guru.
Right.
And it's a video podcast where he will take people out in his little hybrid car.
Right.
And talk about gadgets.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's something to look for.
Yeah, he was actually at Dragon Con a couple of years ago at the first Nuts on the Road game. Yeah. He was the team. It was Widget, him, and Storm, of Paul and Storm. Okay. And on the other team, it was Doc. Doc. The other, whoever it was, of Paul and Storm and Dana Snyder.
Okay.
So that was the first. That was the first one.
He's an interesting character too. He's, you know, because there are a couple of parts in the show where he talks and he shows up as a human.
Yeah.
Like a human. And you're still just seeing the mechanoid.
Right.
You know, there's something about his voice that just screams mechanoid. Or,
yeah. Well, I think it's the way he does his voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just natural, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's his natural speaking voice. It's very interesting.
I'm just going to move us along.
Okay.
Seriously. You watched...
I watched a documentary called Done the Impossible, which is a documentary on Firefly and Serenity and its fan base. And how all of that came... And it really is like a timeline type thing where they go from, like, where the idea came from and moves it all along, and how the fan base came out and how the fan base did what they did, and how the stars interact with the fan base and the music that's popped up around it, because they actually interview the Brigand Bards and Emerald Rose, who have both had done songs.
Oh, no shit.
There's actually an album that the Brigand and Bards did something called On the Drift, where it's they do some of the music from the show, like the River's Jig and the wedding dance and the music they play at Persephone in when they're on the planet and they're you know, that's where they pick up Shepherd Book, that music that's kind of playing in the background.
I'm trying to imagine it.
But they do a version of the Hero of Canton. Yes. They've got a song they wrote about Wash, because they played it for him too at Dragon Con.
You know, it's funny, Phantom hates the theme song.
Right.
And then, like, how can you not love that song? That's a bloody awesome song. And it's, again, completely like unlike anything else that was out for any show, you know? It was so unique.
Oh, yeah, but they actually do one where it's a theme song, and then they had a second thing of lyrics. You know, 9 o'clock at Friday night, why can't Fox just get it right?
Nice.
you can't take, now I own the DVDs, you can't take my show, you can't take my show from me.
Nice.
Because, yeah, and they just show about all these people who have just, you know, these huge fans and this fan base that has grown and become, you know, almost family-like in some certain, you know, aspects and all this. And it's it's hosted by Adam Baldwin.
Okay.
And they interview everybody.
Okay.
Even got, like, interviews with, like, Orson Scott Card, the guy who wrote the Ender Game books.
Okay.
Who was a huge fan of it.
Yeah.
Talks about how his son got him for Christmas the box set, and his son got pissed when he didn't, he hadn't watched it yet because he was his son was such a fan.
Yeah.
And then he started watching it and go, why haven't I watched it? You know, a year went by and I could have been watching this.
Yeah. Well, that's, I actually got it. My brother-in-law got it for me for Christmas because he was like, I just know that you're going to love it.
Right.
And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I've never heard of it and, like, know nothing about it. And he was like, yeah, no, you know, and I was like, okay, no, I'm sorry. I had heard people say, you know, watch it, it looks interesting, you know, it's a really good show. So he finally just bought it for me. And I had my hip replacement that January, and I was like, I may as well, I got nothing but time, right? And I fell in love with it, and I was high on pain meds as I was watching it. And then watched Serenity straight after, and the whole thing was so surreal. I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. But I was so whacked out on the pain meds anyways. It, like, sank in a way that, you know, it wouldn't have otherwise. So.
Well, one of the things they talked about was when the box sets came out, there were people who they gave nothing that Christmas but Serenity, but Firefly box sets. They went out. They had a guy who said he himself bought at least 60 that he gave away as gifts.
I can totally see that. Yeah, because it's, you know, and then too, you're supporting good television that you want to watch, and maybe somebody somewhere will fucking listen.
Yeah, I would be, you know, I would be happy that if they did something like when Chuck and Castle and V go on hiatus, make a straight-to-DVD video.
Right.
And, you know, if you get the same people, you know, doing it, and if it's just even straight to DVD, I'd be happy with a straight to DVD.
Or like we were talking about dinner, like a spinoff.
Yeah.
You know, with different actors because everyone has kind of moved on. But a spinoff based in that world because the world was so unique and so rich. And they could have done so much with it.
And Whedon is still writing it in like comic form. But his thing is he has to get to write about the universe.
Yeah.
But I don't get to work with the actors.
Right.
And that's one of the... He doesn't get to work with the crew of the actors. And that's what the thing he really misses.
Yeah, I can see that.
And honestly, after seeing... Because he directed three episodes of it. He directed Serenity the Pilot. He directed The Train Job, which basically became the second pilot. Because Fox didn't like Serenity. They wanted something that they could just because he you know the pilot's this 2-hour epic where he basically puts you into this brand new universe that's never existed before, you know, introducing you to this very large cast, but they wanted something to where can we just have something where we can just jump on in and and that's what Train Job became.
Yeah.
And then he also did, I can never remember the name of it, Objects in Space, which is the one where the bounty hunter comes at.
Eerie.
Yeah. That he wrote that one. And if you have a chance, listen to the audio commentary on that one, because that's one by himself.
Okay.
It's a philosophy that I can't remember what it was, but basically it's a certain thing that this philosophy that Josh is really into. It's a whole undertow of how objects don't always take on the stuff unless you imbue.
That's right.
You know, it's just a stick, it's not what it really means.
Yeah.
That whole thing. That's the whole underlying current of that particular episode. He also mentions that he actually has it. That's where he kind of admits the the river foot fetish he seems to have, because he tends
foot
to
fetish.
Well, if you watch,
she is always barefoot.
Yes, and that's one of those things. But he did that on purpose, where he basically he wanted her to be kind of that tactile, connected to the ship type thing. She needed to feel.
Well, she does have kind of like that Earth Mother, that kind of grounded. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Right. But yeah, that was... Oh, we already know, because it's one of those things, is like him and Tarantino seem to share that, although Tarantino's is more just feet, it seems, with like Josh. It was more of a joking that he had a foot... You know, people called him out having a foot fetish, especially for Summer Glau's feet.
Yeah,
which is weird, because she's got dancer's feet.
Okay.
You know, because she was a ballerina. In fact, that's what she was in it was an episode of Angel.
Mm-hmm.
That she first showed up in.
I remember that.
It was an episode where they go to a ballet and they get caught up in this like psycho melodrama.
Okay.
It's like it was like this loop that was evolved around this theater and the ballet company that they kind of get stuck and they can't get out.
Huh. I may have to go back and see if I can just find that one episode, because I didn't like Angel at all.
I did, but I think I preferred... I kind of enjoyed it, but it wasn't until the fifth season I really started watching. That was mainly because Marston showed up, and I wanted to see how they were going to bring in a character who had died the year before.
Well, I liked Buffy so much that I was just watching Angel, and I was just like, yeah, this is just radically different, and it just... I didn't like it.
Yeah, but it got Allison Hannigan a husband.
Yeah.
Because she's married to Wesley.
Wesley?
He was the guy who came in.
Again,
as...
I'm just telling you, I didn't watch it, so you're...
No. He showed up in Buffy first.
Uh-huh.
He was the Watcher replacement in season 3.
Oh, okay.
The really uptight
British guy.
Okay. Yeah. And then he ended up moving to Angel.
Uh-huh.
But okay. I mean, they did that because one of the guys that was originally an Angel, they had to fire him because of drugs.
Huh.
And then he ended up dying not too long after that.
Oh, that sucks.
He was a character on Roseanne. He's the one that ends up marrying Becky.
Oh, no shit.
Yes.
Oh,
he was in the first season of Angel as kind of like Angel's partner in the private investigation.
Oh, wow,
for,
that sucks.
Yeah.
He was young.
Yeah, but he had a really bad... I think one of the then it was one of those things I kind of knew back during the Roseanne days that he had a problem with it.
Yeah,
and that was one of the reasons they kind of he didn't show up a lot towards the end because they were having trouble keeping kind of a handle on him.
Yeah, don't do drugs, kids, unless you know you can smoke pot once in a while and laugh and then just move on.
Right.
Don't do anything harder than that.
Don't be a Lindsay.
And don't smoke either. That's my dad's birthday, so. That's something that, you know.
Yeah.
Don't smoke. Don't do hard drugs.
Especially if you're on birth control,
don't
drive.
Smoke. Yeah, don't. Yeah, exactly.
Because that is... Well, that's not... Because Alicia smoked cigars, not enough to have actually caused it, but...
There's a big difference between having one cigar and going again versus, you know, three packs a day like my dad's.
Which is really interesting because I've been listening to a lot of Don and Dan. Because I had about... 6 saved up, and they actually got into scar fetish and using the scar rituals and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
And stuff like that. It seems it was funny because it seems the scar play and fetish stuff seems to be more prevalent in the gay leather community. Than
Well, I've actually seen a lot of it as far as femdom.
You. Well, it's all there's a lot of stuff like the ritualistic, you know, the cutting and the and the lighting and the, you know, then you have like putting the ashes in the hand or
it seems like I had a couple people contact me who are really into a smoking fetish.
Yeah, well, that's a little different between it. Yeah, I was gonna say that's a little it seems like the cigar fetish and the smoking fetish are kind of different.
No, I mean it seemed like it had a crossover.
It has some crossover, but there is a difference between just a smoking fetish and the cigar fetish.
Well, there is one guy who because it's a very powerful thing, and seeing a woman smoking a cigar,
right,
enjoying a good cigar, that's a huge femdom thing.
Right, but there's more to it. You have to listen to the episode and listen to the guy who is the he was. God, what was it, Leather Daddy 2003?
Uh-huh.
He went into very much detail about the whole idea around mm-hmm. cigars and using it in the...
Yeah, well, no, I know that I've seen, like mostly cigar stuff as far as femdom. Porn sites, in fact, I want to say. Because I had a guy who wanted me to put a plastic bag over his head.
Yeah, that's part of that particular fetish. Yeah. But, I mean, that kind of rich... But there is...
Yeah.
There seems to be a very deep and rich history to it.
Yeah, well, check it out. Look for women too, because I swear it's out there too. I'm gonna just go through these really quickly. This stuff is fucking pissing me off.
Okay.
Women of G4.
Oh yeah, that was just something I brought up. I've got a thread on Kinky and Geeky. For some reason, it just kind of popped up that I think it would be really good. On FetLife, yeah, it would be. I thought it would just kind of be cool to have because G4 have some really hot geek women.
Mm-hmm.
And it would just be kind of cool to see that represented.
Like
but
a calendar.
A calendar or a Playboy spread was my thing. Yeah. The women of G4.
Mm-hmm.
But someone put up, when I put up the thread, that Morgan Webb had been voted. She's the co-host of X-Play,
mm-hmm.
which is the gaming show.
Yeah.
Where they talk about video games and stuff. And she had been voted in some poll or something, kind of mm-hmm. nominated to do it, and she refused.
Yeah.
Or declined, I should say.
Huh.
Although, Cabe, who you met at our Halloween party, because mm-hmm. I put something up on my Facebook saying, yeah. Am I the only one that would like this? And he brought it up, and he was saying, but there was one where there is a picture of Morgan Webb flashing,
uh-huh.
like a friend's camera phone.
Hmm.
So...
I'm skipping a bunch of this shit.
Okay.
Seriously. Okay, two things I want to mention. DS sent us a question.
Yeah, I put out a question. You people kind of suck.
No. Nobody sucks. And he used that new Deckly on Twitter, which incidentally doesn't work, because when I went to go click on the website, it didn't work.
When I used it on TweetDeck when I was doing my thing.
And Phantom did too, but this one didn't work, so one out of three, it doesn't fucking work. So
I was going to say, no, I tried it, but I was going to, it did it,
yeah.
But I was trimming mine down so it didn't matter.
The question is, what is one thing that you do day in and day out that might be considered weird by others? I date Phantom. So, that's mine.
I do day in and day out?
Yeah.
I don't think I really have anything. Mm-hmm.
That might be considered weird?
Yeah, not you something I
up.
Do.
You dress up more than a lot of people do.
I
don't know if I'd consider that weird.
That's not really weird. I mean, I dress up... I dress up from time to time, but that's a little weird for...
For where you work.
For where I work, maybe, but not really. I mean,
it's
not like I put on a suit. I'll put on, like, a nice dress shirt, and I just happen to like French cuff shirts, because mm-hmm. I've always liked cufflinks.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's actually weird. I mean, it's a little different, but I wouldn't say anything that anybody would consider weird, honestly.
I think, seriously, mine is, you know, Phantom and I are just weird together, you know.
The whole different B-Pals daily type thing may be considered a little weird, but not really.
I wouldn't say that's weird.
I can't really think. I can't really think of anything that falls under weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, well, myself, just being myself, tends to people think I'm kind of weird, but that's not something
just by the nature of who we are.
Yeah.
Weird
some people
weird
might find us weird,
yeah.
Yeah. Just because of what we're into.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about stuff.
And... Phantom and I are bizarre together, but that's why we get along so well, is because we're just fucking strange together. Get each other on that weird ass level.
Right. That's me and Alicia. We're.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the one thing is, like, I allow her to be the
mm-hmm.
the uber fangirl she can be.
Yeah.
Which I'm surprised that people around the world haven't heard the squee of delight from when she found out that Misha Collins is going to be at Dragon Con.
Oh, okay.
He plays Castiel on Supernatural. He's like one of the first major cast members to show up for the show.
Yeah. So, yeah. Those are our answers. I date Phantom.
Yeah, I can't really think of anything that anybody would call weird.
Two more things. I've got someone that you need to follow on Twitter.
Okay.
And I'm sending him out there as someone forever in to follow, because he's been doing these really great Tumblr posts with these really fucking hot pictures. I know okay. you'll enjoy them, but I think a lot of people out there would enjoy them too. And that's Kink Magnet.
Kink Magnet, okay.
Yeah, Kink Magnet. He, again, posts things on Tumblr, which, you know, then turns around and tweets.
Right.
Whenever he does an update, but just go there to see some pretty pictures. And also Joe's Porn Corner.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so...
Which someone is trying to hijack, but...
Yeah.
It's ours, damn it.
Well, and we have not looked at this, so this is fresh.
Yes, so we'll be scarred at the same time.
Yeah. Which, actually, I thought he sent it to me. He didn't. He sent it to
Send it to Kingy and the Geek.
Okay. And this is...
Blank porn!
www.spinonmycock.com.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and actually this is not so crazy. And there's a girl on a turntable. A guy laying underneath this turntable somehow. And the turntable is spinning as she's...
On his cock.
Bobbing up and down on his cock. There's like a hole in the middle of this turntable.
It's a sit and spin for adults.
It is. And actually, what's hilarious about this is, well, not hilarious necessarily, but it's kind of awesome, actually. There's a thing. I had a friend who was in the Army and went to, was it Vietnam? I think it was Vietnam. And heard about this thing called a basket job.
Right.
And what it is they put a girl in a basket with a hole in the bottom.
Right.
And they spin her. And they twist this thing around, twist it.
Right.
And then they let you lay underneath, you put your cock inside her.
Right.
And they let the basket go.
Interesting.
And I was like, so how was it? Because I knew that he had obviously done it, because who fucking wouldn't?
Right,
I
mean, yeah.
I would, right? And he said, basically, your eyes just kind of flutter and then you come.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
Similar, yeah, so that's a basket job. But this is kind of similar as far as the turntable. I like that.
Right.
Not sure what the eroticism is in the spinning. I don't know.
Well, you've heard the term spinner.
Mm, yeah.
It's usually a short, very thin girl, or short or thin girl that you basically, you know,
you basically
could spin her on your cock, which is really funny because the first time I heard that term was on Ally McBeal.
Okay.
It was an episode. It was I want to say it was one of the first episodes where Lucy Liu started showing up.
Okay.
And she was suing, because she was the Sue Happy, you know, businesswoman. Yeah. And she was suing, basically it was, what's his face? The guy who sings Duncan Shane.
Engelbert?
No. Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton, okay.
Newton was playing basically a, kind of the Howard Stern shock jock type thing, and he was suing him because one of her workers in the plant was listening to it, and she got offended. And there's a scene where that Allie is second chairing for the Lucy Liu, and the guy Fish, I think, was the head of the firm, and he was taking it, and at one point, Wayne Newton looks over and looks at his lawyer and goes, "Who's the spinner?" And talking about Ally McBeal.
Gross. That is offensive and horrible, but hilarious.
Yeah, at the same time. Which was funny because Ally McBeal actually, if they had gotten rid of Ally McBeal and just kept everybody else around it.
I don't know. I liked her. And I liked the show. The show was quirky.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The rest of the cast I loved, but Allie's character could get too whiny at times.
Yeah, but it was kind of seeing this one normal person who wants normal things, like a boyfriend and a marriage and all this stuff, being surrounded by all these weirdos.
Yeah, but I think
that was kind of.
Although
the point
she was a weirdo too, because she was the one that kept having the visions.
That's true.
But yeah, I love the. I love the show, and the people around it made it. I think made the show even better. I mean, Peter McNichol was hilarious.
Oh yeah! Oh my god! Yeah.
And
when he would dismount from the toilet.
Yes. and then they brought in. What was her name?
Portia de Rossi.
Portia de Rossi, who was just absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Lucy Cole. Liu.
Yeah.
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 Oh, no, her character was kind of warm in that. She was a little better.
I'm thinking of her in...
Better Off Ted?
Better Off Ted.
Oh, yeah. God, I loved her in Better Off Ted.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole show was funny. Although there was one that was funny that was actually one time I really found Calista Flockhart really sexy was mm-hmm. It was their one of their Christmas episodes. Mm-hmm. And I think she had to do it on a bet where okay. She came out doing Santa Baby.
Okay.
And just for some reason just shot her sexiness level with the way she was doing it and the outfit and doing that song.
Yeah, she's way too skinny for me, but I liked her as a person because she was... She was meant to be relatable to women.
Right.
You know, and I could relate because even though most of us don't whine, a lot of us have those same feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, those...
There were just some times where the whiny, pining stuff kind of got out of hand.
Yeah.
And I could have done without that. But the rest of the cast, I thought, was just downright hilarious.
Yeah. Okay, I'm saying.
Yeah, we're gonna pull the plug on this. Hopefully next week. Guys. If you want me to next week, I will bring mine and we can.
Yeah, I think that's what we need to do. Is there anything else you need to?
Nope, not at all. I am gonna start doing the Sunday condom count again. Right. It was just with Aruka being in the hospital that kind of fell to the wayside.
Yeah, yeah. Totally.
But hopefully, I'll start doing that a lot more.
And, yeah. Well, and I get to go pick up Phantom on Saturday.
Yes.
And bring him down, and we're driving down all day Sunday, which I feel like I can say this because
this will be
coming
up
out next week, so we'll have already
happened.
Your friends made really good points about their house being broken into several times. They don't tell anyone when they're going out of town.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I think about that. So, but I'm gonna go pick him up on Saturday.
Well, you're flying up there Saturday.
Yeah. Thought I was gonna pick him up. And we were going to immediately drive down. Well, now it's turned into this thing where I'm meeting all the aunts and uncles and everything.
Well, considering what's going on, you kind of have to.
Yeah. I need to, but it was just kind of like...
You were ready. You just need to come on down. Yeah.
Yeah, so... and also, I thought he had told his mom pretty much everything there was to know about me. I knew
right.
hysterectomy would be kind of an issue because that means they won't have grandkids. And apparently... He had not told her that I was married before, nor that I was married to a woman. So that's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, just explain to her your whole thing about how women are crazy. And I was like, I don't want to be put in a position where I have to defend myself
right.
for the life that I've lived.
So. Well, he already wants to have you as some kind of deflection shield because he wants you to go up there with the bright purple hair.
Yeah, that's true.
And so he can throw you between him and his aunts.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's more that he... It's not a deflection off of him.
Right.
It's more just he just wants to see how it falls out.
Right, okay. Fair enough.
So that's it.
And one last thing that we will, because this will go up before, me and Aruka will be at AnacroCon.
Yeah.
For at least a Saturday. We won't be there all weekend. We'll be there during the day Saturday. But do not be surprised if you go there. If you're going there all weekend long. And on Friday you see Kingy the Geek stuff.
Yeah, floating around. Because,
we're
going
to try to go and put some stuff up before.
And we're going to go to the con. I don't know which one it is. But the one that's in March.
Right.
So we'll probably be doing this one there. So we'll be here first
one. Right, and of course... Yes.
Yeah.
And then in April. And then in April, of course.
Right.
But that's basically it. Right. It starts the end.
Don't worry, I'm not going to
miss you.
So, alrighty, you guys be good.
Or be good at it.
Bye.
Don't hit it again!
Sorry about the static, guys.
Smack it.